0. Porschebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porschebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Porschebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Porschebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet to detect gene doping in thoroughbreds. And we endorsed the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back a little bit into hour two, and we'll run to Kentucky for visits with both Scott Shapiro and James Scully in this half hour. Shap, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Happy Belmont weekend to you, sir.
I appreciate it, and we're going to get some Belmont opinions, but, you know, as we always say on Triple Crown weekends, you know, the public, the betting public, does not live by by features alone. And even with eight grade ones, you got a nice card at Churchill tomorrow, actually, in a very nice late sequence. The Mighty Bow is the overnight, but, you know, take us wherever you want. You can do New York first. You can do Kentucky. I'm at your disposal.
Sounds good. Let's go to the back end of tomorrow to get it started. Starting with race day, you've got a few played each of the last four races, the late pick four, starting in race eight, which is a maiden special weight event, fillies and mares, six furlongs. And I like number one, More Than Vows. Brian Lynch has been red hot of late. He's won five of his last 10 heading into today. And he sent out another runner that had not been seen since Saratoga. Now, that was a debut win, but this one, More Than Vows, was bet heavily on debut. 5-2 favoritism, 10 horse field, breaking from the rail, field that ended up being very live, Bubble Rock, Lady Dana with the top two finishers, and this one just didn't get into the race from the inside draw, so I'm willing to put a line through it. Appears to be working forwardly, and doesn't look to be the toughest of our maiden special weight events here under the Twin Spire, so we'll start out the late pick four with number one, More Than Vows, who is the 7-2 second choice on Mike Battaglia's morning line. And move us to race nine. I'm going to go with the rail again, Steve. Liberty MD, been a little bit of an enigma over the last couple of starts, but certainly has talent and should get a real contentious pace in the second level allowance event for the ladies at six furlongs over the main track. Last time out, didn't get out of the gates well. It's been kind of an issue over the last few starts. But also, I thought Julian LePeru a little bit overly patient in that race. The winner, Al Allworthy, did run well for Safi Joseph and got the jump. But I think Liberty MD gets a little bit of a better setup tomorrow, and I think she gets that third career win. She's run great over this racetrack overall. And hopefully we get about that 3-1 morning line price, another second choice to start off the first two legs of a late pick four.
That's Churchill, 8th and 9th. The one in both races, Brian Lynch and Ian Wilkes. More Than Vows and Liberty MD. That ninth race is a nice race. Brad Cox has got that Kaylee's sister in there. Jerry B. for Kelsey Danner. Razor Glass, Brendan Walsh. This is a good group.
Yeah, looks like a lot of speed. I do think Connie Kay at 6-1 is worth giving a good look. Worried about getting caught inside in a speed duel, but this one, she's an Arkansas bred, but she's run well against open company, and she's run well over this racetrack, but the trip might be a little tricky, but if you get the right value, I wouldn't mind including that one at 6-1 on the line. May get overlooked a little bit because, like you said, it is a pretty live bunch.
Let's talk about that mighty bow, $160,000 overnight listed stake. And we did have Eric Foster on Monday, which was so much fun, and you know, celebrating his 40-1 win last Saturday. That was really, really enjoyable. And I brought up Johnny Unleashed with him, and he said he's going to turn up in this spot. So let's see if Eric Foster can't win stakes at Churchill two Saturdays in a row.
Yeah, that was fun with Kittadan. I wish I, you know, had the horse. Obviously, at 40-1 was another. I saw you talk about the Thoroughgraph. Definitely fit on Thoroughgraph. I think got overlooked a little because it was such a wide open group in the Audubon, and also because, you know, whenever Mike Maker loses a horse, you kind of get the assumption that the horse, you know, will struggle to take a step forward. But I was down in the winner's circle. There was a few very happy people in the Foster barn. Felt very good for them. I think Johnny Unleashed, though, is up against it from a race shape perspective, as are all the other speeds in here. Just Mike, Caratari, the two class acts in here, both have speed. Johnny Unleashed, Oceanic, who, if you look at the last race, might not look like a speed horse, but he completely missed a break that day. So you can not only toss the race from an overall perspective, but assume he's going to show speed once again. Creative credit to the outside. I really like Smoke and Jay in here. Second start off the layoff for Kelsey Danner, finished second to Caratari in the turf sprint at Pimlico, but should get a better setup in here. Got an okay setup, but Caratari did dominate that race from start to finish. And with that start under his belt, I think he's sitting on a career best effort, Steve, and should get a decent price. 9-2 on the line, should get the right setup here, like I said, with all the speed signed on.
Kelsey Danner and Adam Biskitza, and of course the Biscuit, a winner for Cherie DeVoe, going back to last week's Mint Julep.
Yes, Gam's Mission, very cool horse, very honest horse, and had finished second in a couple of races, kind of a little bit of different tactics, moved a little bit earlier, so they had to kind of run her down instead of being the one that kind of didn't get there in time, but good ride by Adam, and Cherie's having a great meet here. Gam's Mission, a very cool filly. Then the 11th, same story here for me. I think we should get a lively early pace. This is a first level allowance event, 5.5 furlongs over the main track. Couple horses here. I'm gonna go 9-7. Mini Conju is my top pick, entering the Tom Ames barn for the first time. Really turned a corner after being claimed by Kelly Von Hemmel for $30,000. Rattled off two straight wins at Oaklawn. Has the right running style, should get a very favorable off-the-pace trip from the outside draw under Edgar Morales, who just has a couple of wins here at the meet, but Tom's been using them quite a bit and seems to be settling in a little better after having that great season as a Bug Boy here and then really struggling a bit, but has been going up to Indiana to ride for Tom and winning at a high percentage up there and riding a little better than those percentages may suggest. And then I think Ready to Answer is a use as well. Back to the main track. One start this year for it was for Dermot Littlefield that day, but been in the Rusty Arnold barn throughout. And the one start was a 5.5 furlong event over the turf. Lyrical Poet wired out the field. Not a favorable race shape for a runner from off the pace, but that should change here. So 9-7, we'll use them both to close out the late horizontals. And, you know, if you want to use State In for a half as the best of the speeds, I could understand that. Cutting back to 5.5 furlongs, a little keyed up after just an average break on Derby Day over that wet fast call in the race two. That was a pretty salty group. This is a softer spot, so I could see using State In for a half as well. I picked for a third.
Very good. So 1-1-7 with 7-9 for those that are going to focus on the top tabs. That's Churchill and the late pick four, including the feature. Feature is good. And go from there. What else?
Yeah, well, let's talk a little Belmont, I guess. I'm sure you haven't talked any about that at all over the last week over on the show, so we'll add my two cents in here. And I'm gonna try to get Rich Strike completely out of this thing. I just don't, you know, I have questions on whether he's going to, A, just run anywhere near that race, which is an obvious concern, but you know, he appears to be a horse that's a little bit different over the Churchill Downs main track. Now he's shipping out of town. Belmont, obviously, lots of differences here. So my main gambling play is going to be trying to get Rich Strike out of the trifecta, assuming he'll be probably second or third choice. My A's or my horses I'll use on top or keying will be Mo Donegal, who I think will be closer to the pace than he was in several of the starts. I think he's got more tactical speed than we've seen of late. We've seen a lot of runners in the Belmont, especially for Todd Pletcher, be a little bit closer to the pace than even it appeared on paper. So I think he'll get the jump on the late runners in this spot. Definitely interested in him. And I did pick Creative Minister, horse I've been fond of for a while now. I thought ran a good third in the Preakness. You know, this is a solid bunch, but early voting in Epicenter to me, clearly better than anyone in this race, and he beat the rest of that field pretty handily. And I think he gets a great trip here. I think he gets the trip right off We the People. You know, obviously three races in 5 weeks, like it is for anyone, could be a concern, but I think they might be, you know, getting the best out of this one at the right time and continuing to run him while he's in good form, and they'll give him a break after this. So I do like Creative Minister, and I'll use Nest, We the People underneath those two. So 5-6-1-3 for me in this year's Belmont.
Very good.
And you know, in the Met Mile, obviously Flightline and Speaker's Corner are going to be tough to beat, but I get the sense that one of them, you know, may fall out of the exact arrow. I'm going to hope in terms of gambling approach that one of them, you know, takes the heart out of the other one. And I'm going to try to get Aloha West in the second. I'm going to play exactive with Aloha West underneath the 1 and 2. This horse was way too close to the pace to be at his best in the Churchill Downs when they went real slow early. Jackie's Warrior was walking on the lead. He had been training extremely well leading up to that race, and it just wasn't meant to be for him. I'm a little concerned about 8 furlongs for him, but I think if they go mid-22s and kind of a 45 early, I think that's going to be a little too sharp for Happy Saver. I think if they go real fast, he might be able to come and pick up the pieces, but I'm going to try to get Aloha West either underneath Flightline or Speaker's Corner. So 1-2 with 3 in the Met Mile. And I don't know about you, Steve, but all the way to the third in the Acorn, I like Matt Araya to spring the minor upset against Echo Zulu. I know Echo Zulu ran big in the Kentucky Oaks and will definitely appreciate the cutback to the one-turn mile, but I think Matt Araya is on the improve, and it seems like Echo Zulu, at least if you look at the thoroughgraphs, and is struggling to kind of take that next step forward, you know, just keeps running the same number, which at some point usually leads to regression when they, you know, don't keep moving forward. So I'm going to try to hopefully get over even money on Matt Araya. I'm not sure what price you think we'll get, but I think Matt Araya is going to spring the minor upset there.
Yeah, Matt Araya is, there's two, in fact, both of those races back-to-back, both the Acorn and the Just a Game. I'm not arguing with the morning line, but the second choices are both preferable. Matt Araya, I prefer to Echo Zulu, and I prefer Regal Glory to Speak of the Devil. 6-5 and even money, I mean, so it's not a, you know, you're splitting hairs a little bit. But Matt Araya, I mean, Echo Zulu, David was aggressive 3-5. I guess I think she'll be closer to even than 3-5. I would say 4-5 or north.
4-5. Yeah. So, well, hopefully we get a good. I mean, Matt Array has been. Yeah, she's just been so good, and you know, I get the sense they weren't locked into sending her from Kentucky. You know, and the fact that they did, you know, small field, grade one. I mean, I like that they did. I think they should have, but I take it as a positive that she's doing well, the fact that she is running a miss instead of maybe opting for a different spot, just based on kind of my feel for what they were planning to do after the 8 bells and what they ended up doing. So definitely is take it as a positive. But, yeah, not a lot of obviously tremendous value options on the card. Some of these races, looking forward to just sitting back and enjoying, maybe dabbling if a price is bigger than I thought. But those are the ones that I'm going to dive into at Belmont.
Excellent. All right. You got anything? Any Friday, or are we good?
Today I have a little late double play here at Churchill. I like Tilting at Windmills in the eighth. I think the pace will be hot in that turf event. I think the setup should be there for that one. And then I like Weyburn. I'm going to give Weyburn another crack. Price won't be as good as it was in the Ali Sheba, but I should appreciate getting back to one turn and not having to face the likes of Olympiad and Happy Saver. So we'll play a late double today. Seven, what is it? Sorry. My numbers are not
here right now.
7-6. 7-6 to close the day.
All right. Good job. Shap, I appreciate it. Scott Shapiro, everybody. Scott Shap, 34. And, of course, the action today at Churchill comes right back. And what did I do with it? There it is, 12:45 post today.
12:45, yep.
For Scott and company. Scott, have a good weekend. Good luck. I'll talk next week.
You too, Steve. Have fun. Good luck.
Scott Shapiro, everybody. And, you know, looking at the Mighty Bow provoked the question, and now I'm just realizing, since we brought it up I mentioned Johnny Unleashed. I think they're running in New York with Smoke and Jay. In fact, I'm sure now they're running in New York with Smoke and Jay because I just checked with Kelsey Danner. So take Smoke and Jay out of the Mighty Bow tomorrow. All right. So that's not happening. Smoke and Jay is in the Jiper tomorrow. All right. And looking for the grade one opportunity. Why not? Grade one, 400,000. And he's not uncompetitive in the grade one. So good for Kelsey and for Smoke and Jay, who, of course, we saw at Baltimore just 3 weeks ago. So, you know, other horses running on 3 weeks rest. Oh, my God. they do it. You know, that, in fact, while Shap was going through, I did pull this up. And, of course, in addition to, you know, Michelle Lovell, who's got change of control, got the mare in the Jiper and drew the rail. She's got Just Might in the Mighty Bow, as you heard mentioned. There's also Caratari, who's very consistent for Lynch. And, yeah, everybody else is not that Johnny Unleashed. But with Smoke and Jay out of there, yeah, just might Caratari. It kind of falls to them. And Caratari, yeah, 7-5. Just Might is 2-1. Johnny Unleashed. I mean, these are all going to be a little lower with Smoke and Jay out. But you know, this Oceanic, the 5-year-old Oceanic, the Constitution for Jordan Blair. Is a little interesting. What do we get? 10-1 morning line. And I see Paul McAtee has been trying to get Baytown Bear on the grass. That's an upstart out of the Istan mare. Nice. All right, there's your Mighty Bow, and hold on, Case. If you're having trouble getting James, he should be okay. He should be all right, Casey. Keep trying, Scully, because I know he's out of the picture by 11. All right. So we got about six. There he is, James Scully. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Happy Belmont Stakes Week, and I want to wish him, Gigi and my condolences, loss of your dad.
I appreciate it, James, and You know, I'll save the other topic off for off air, but I, because I think I heard something that affects you, but I'm not entirely sure. So I'll talk to you over the weekend. But thank you. Let's dive in and get your thoughts on. Start with Belmont and tomorrow's card, James.
Yeah, sure. I'll start with the main event, the Belmont Stakes. I think it's going to be interesting to see whether, you know, how obviously how the pace shapes up with We the People. I think We the People is going to break up front. But I did think in that Peter Pan, you know, when Seth Sale, who was the 2-1 favorite chipping in for California, stumbled out of the gate, that really left him on a clear lead with electability chasing him. And I think that either Skippy Longstock in or Nesk are going to look to really just try to track him and not be too far back. And I think it's going to be a pretty tight pack for the most part with the field. And I think Mo Donegal is the horse to beat. I think he's going to sit a good stock and trip, like I said, hopefully like within 5 or 6 lengths of the lead. I mean, even if he's back in 6th or so, I can envision him running, sitting a good trip, not too far back, a lot closer than he was in the Derby. And I think his class will show in the final furlongs. I think he's got a strong finish coming on Saturday. I do, like, from a vertical exotic perspective, and could even see, like, Saban in some multi-race wagers, I do think Nest is set to run a good race. Now, she's going to have to continue to step up from a speed rating performance number viewpoint, but I think that she does have more tactical speed than she showed in the Oaks. I think that was part of what hurt her that day, was that she was pretty far back in the pack and, you know, had an inside trip through the far turn where a Secret Oaks like spun out wide and really had this explosive turn of foot. Neff brings more of a grinding style, but if she can get better position early, I think that grinding style and her breeding for the mile and a half distance can really benefit her. And the other horse I'll use underneath Mo Donegal is Creative Minister. I do think that the thing that hurt him in the Preakness was just breaking slowly. He just didn't get out of the gate well. Granted, that's happened to him a couple times in his career, so it is a concern. But, you know, he broke better when he won that allowance race when he broke his maiden at Keeneland. And if he can just get out of the gate better and get, you know, decent, stalking position, I think he'll have something to offer in the latter stages, Steve.
Very good. What else?
Well, just going backwards, I think in the Manhattan, it's really interesting where you're going to have a decent setup for the off the pace runners, because you do have some pace in here with both Trabhuven and Channel Maker. I mean, Channel Maker is not going to be too far back. Expect to see the 7 Trabhuven like flash to the front. But, you know, you're going to have Channel Maker. Even Santon doesn't race too far back. And they could get a little bit contested on the far turn. And I'm intrigued by number 4 at Hamo. I thought that last year in Europe as a 3-year-old, this Irish Brig, you know, kept pretty good company. You know, he ran at some races. He was in against St. Mark's Basilica. And if you look at his, like, European form, he got 4 starts at 1¼. That's 2 of his 3 career wins at Saturday's distance. And he even has a 3rd in a group 2 last July in France at the 1¼ distance. So I just think the trip suits him. I think he's been in 2 races, both the Fairground Stakes and the Old Forester Bourbon Turf Classic, where they were just real slow paces. He was pretty far back. He came with a run in both races, but I think he's going to get a better setup, get a better result. So I'm giving Ed Hamo the edge in the Manhattan Stakes. I'll also use Gufo, who's always dangerous and will be running late as well, in any kind of multi-race bets.
All right.
Looking at the Met Mile, I think the real key, obviously, Flight Line's going to flash to the front. He might just lead wire to wire. But, you know, Speaker's Corner does have some speed. I mean, he's earned these, like, Brisnet E2 pace ratings of 106, 108 in 2 of his last 3 starts. If he can just put some pressure or push him in the middle, like, stages of the race. That's one thing Flightline's really never encountered. I mean, he's just gone to the front and just opened up at every single pole in all three starts. Maybe he continues to do so on Saturday if Speaker's Corner can't run with him at all, you know, in the opening, like, three-quarters of a mile. But I'm a little bit optimistic that Speaker's Corner and Belmont, he's going to look to take it to him. And if that happens, I think Aloha West has a chance to run well. Obviously needed that Churchill Downs sprint. I thought he was a little bit eager off the rest. I heard Scott Shapiro earlier. He made the same points. And he just appears to be training brilliantly for Catalano. I thought he was a horse. He's five now. He really started to find his best form last fall. He can continue. He's still got something to offer, I think, as a five-year-old this year, Aloha West. It may only be second best on Saturday, but I'm a little intrigued by him in the Met Mile.
Yeah, Scott is approaching it the same way, or at least, you know, at least using him as an anchor. How about the Jiper? And I just mentioned Smokin' Jay is running. Heard from Kelsey Danner. They're running there. And the 10 with Junior Alvarado aboard, and certainly one of the weekends. It's interesting that for all the confounding nature of turf sprints, James, that the argument could be made the two most fun betting races of the weekend are the Intercontinental today, the 11th, and then the Jiper tomorrow.
Yeah, and one thing about the Jiper was I think it's just, you get 13 horses in there, and you really don't have a lot of early speed in there. I mean, you don't have as much pace signed on as you would expect to see in a big field as it got. I thought in the turf sprint last time on Derby Day undercard or the Oaks undercard that middle pace. I mean, I thought it just like the front runners that day got away with a little bit of a soft internal middle split in that race. Arrest Me Red ran a good race, but I think the whole pace scenario there changed when Chasing Artie missed the break. He's a horse that on Saturday draws outside. I used him last time. I didn't pick him on top or anything in that race, but I saw him in the paddock before that race, and I thought he looked great. And then, like I said, he just stumbled out of the gate. I think he has the tactical foot to receive a great trip. He was a horse that was a pretty solid three-year-old last year. He won his final start at three in a stake race at Monmouth at 5.5 furlongs and came back with a really nice effort from an outside post in his first race back at Gulfstream to win. Like I said, I'm drawing a line through his last race. I look forward to get a good trip on the front end with John Velasquez. Might be a horse to use in, like, you know, underneath as well in vertical exotics, but at 15-1 in the morning line, Chasing Artie is a horse that really intrigues me in that Jiper, Steve.
Well, okay. Jeez. Where next, James?
I'll just go back a little bit. I think in the Woody Stevens, you know, and to me, well, I'll mention my thoughts on August 5th. I do think that, like, both Malathat and Clarier have a chance to beat Latruska this season. I'm not sure if it's going to be on Saturday. One thing about Latruska's first two races this year, the Royal Delta and the Apple Blossom, in both races she got real easy paces, took advantage of them, but those races didn't come back fast per se, like as fast as she was running last year when she was reeling off five straight stakes wins. She might just have too much of a pace advantage in here, especially if Clerk's Results doesn't hustle from the gate for these fillies to beat her in there. But, you know, I mean, to me, I would still be using Malathat on any multi-race bets. I think that she's a filly that was on the lead last year in the Coaching Club American Oaks. In her next couple starts, she didn't show any really speed from the gate. But I think they're well aware, John Velasquez and Todd Pletcher are, about the pace scenario, and they're going to try to stay close with Malathat. So I think it's between the likely horses in that race, Steve.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. I mean, I like Clarier better than Malathat, but point well made.
And then in the Woody Stevens, once again, you know, there's a race that might just be, you know, academic, just a race to watch. But I will say this. I mean, Jack Christopher, if you watch that Pat Day mile, he gets put under a little bit of a drive at the top of this stretch. Pappas captured really good speed that day. He was hustled from the gate by Pratt. You know, he's got more speed than people think. I think a lot of people think that Jose Ortiz and Jack Christopher are just going to be use their speed and have a big pace advantage. But if he has to work early or something off of a, you know, first race in 8 months going a mile like that, you know, Morello at least has is going to have a puncher's chance in there. I think he's a horse that, you know, his races this spring weren't per se that fast. He's going to have to run faster than he did in the Wingfield or Gotham. But he still has some upside for Steve Asmus, and he's a one-turn horse that should relish the seven for a long distance. So if you could get a little bit of a contested pace up front, it could soften it up for him at least. You know, to make it interesting.
Very good. Jay's got to press forward Friday, last second push?
I do. I got a last second push on Friday. It's at Belmont today. It's in the race number, race number five, number 12, Messador.
There you go.
Messador, Christoph, come on. 10 to 1.
Yep. Yep.
That's it for me.
Terrifically competitive second level. James, that's great, but that you're right. Messador, 10 to 1. And, I mean, I actually used others, but.
Had a poor break last time. Yeah, a tough trip last time. Got off to a bad start. Going to run better today from that outside post.
Very
Thanks,
good.
Steve.
James Scully, everybody. James_Scully. Thank you. James_Scully, 111. Check all the Twin Spires offers and opt in. Nick Tamaro, we're going to be a little tight here with Nick, and he's only got a certain amount of time. And then I got Andy Serling, who has a very finite set of time today because he's got talking horses to get ready for as well. And speaking of Andy, as Casey grabs Nick. Let's see if Andy's circulated scratches. Here we go. They are not out yet. Okay. No, if Andy hasn't tweeted them, they're not out. Although I do have, actually, I do have the or I did have it. I went to a different page. But let me just see if the Equibase. No update yet. So we're waiting on scratches. I have not. I've got the Friday card laid out, but I don't have the multi-race wagers filled in. My coverage starts with race four today at Belmont. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Okay, Nick, we got quite a bit of Friday taken care of. Weather-wise, we're good. Going to have beautiful turf, so no concerns about that topic. How about some Saturday thoughts as we get ready?
Yeah, you know, I guess we could sort of work backwards from the Belmont, but, you know, the Belmont, for me, in terms of multi-race plays, is going to boil down to a two-horse race. I'm going to use We the People and Creative Minister. They're the two that I want from a tactical standpoint and not so much value because I do think We the People's price is a little bit less than what you'd want for a horse in this scenario. At the same time, he has a massive pace advantage on that field. He has a jockey that is as likely as any in the game currently to take full advantage of it. And I think there's definitely a reason to believe he can come right back and duplicate the kind of performance that he did last time. And I think Creative Minister is really on the rise and ran a better race in the Preakness than I think I realized in going back and watching and taking a look at the speed figures and everything else. And I know I'm of the opinion that if early voting was in this race, he would be about 6-5 and win by the length of the stretch. So I got to show some respect to Creative Minister for that reason. So I'm going to go with those two primarily. I'll use both Pletchers as backups. That's about it for me. Rich Strike, in my opinion. Well, if I can't win, I'll root for him because I do think he's become a nice story in the game. But from a wagering perspective, he's completely unappealing.
Understood. Talk about the Manhattan, which we you hit the highlights in terms of the two-day wagers. But let's flesh out some specifics.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to use the two obvious horses, but the horse I'm going to focus my attention on is Channel Maker, who I understand he faced inferior horses last time out, but I thought he ran quite well, and I think he fits the race pretty nicely as well. I know that Tribuven will go to the lead, and Santine likes to be somewhat forwardly placed as well. The thing that I've been pretty taken by with Channel Maker is that almost as quickly as they realized how good he was when he went to the lead, he's gotten good in his last two starts sitting off the lead. So maybe it's something about Luis Saez's ability to get this horse to relax that really improves his performance in general, because he was very good in the Breeders' Cup Turf and came back with a what I thought was a solid effort in the Elkhorn. That was a field that he outclassed on paper, but it looked like he was going to have to deal with a very negative pace setup, and he overcame it. Held everybody off very nicely, very gamely in the stretch, and now he's second off the layoff with Bill Mott having identified this spot pretty early. It's sort of funny how this horse has become a new type of animal as his career has gone by. In the Manhattan in 2018, at that point he was a dead last closer and ended up getting into a ton of traffic trouble. But now he's been reinvented in many ways as a horse with a lot of tactical speed. So I'm very interested in him, and again, I'll use Gouffeau and Adamo, who look like they'll probably end up going off the two favorites. Both of them like to do their running late. So I think I've kind of got the yin and yang in there with a horse that'll be forwardly placed and a couple that should be charging in the stretch.
I like it. Okay, and keep moving.
Med Mile to me is all Flight Line. I respect Speaker's Corner, but you know, Flight Line's Malibu was almost bizarrely good. And if he runs that kind of race from a pace figure perspective, he will be way too much for these horses to handle. So I think Speaker's Corner has gotten very, very good now as a late season 3-year-old and 4-year-old, and this is likely his best trip. He has just never faced a horse. None of these horses have ever even come close to a horse like Flight Line. And while I do find, you know, his inability to run frequently to be a little frustrating, at least we're getting to see him, period. And I think he ends up dictating terms to everybody from the inside, and he'll be very, very tough to beat. I imagine he'll end up going off about 2-5, and I don't see there being many much in his way, because I don't think Speaker's Corner can sit outside of him and push him at all and overcome that and hold everybody else off late. It just looks like way too much of a task. So just ones for me in the multi-race plays, and maybe for every 10 units of Flight Line, I use one of Speaker's Corner.
Okay, Jiper, which certainly a fun group.
Yeah, really good group. This is a very exciting race, one I'm very interested in. I'm going to mainly use three, Casa Creed, and then two of the runners on the outside, Gear Jockey and Gregorian Chant. They'll all be coming from somewhat off the pace. Gear Jockey is capable of being a little bit closer. I like Gear Jockey reunited with Jose Lozcano, with whom he did very well in 2021, winning an allowance race up at Saratoga, winning the turf sprint at Kentucky Downs. I think six is ideal for him, and I think that he has that ability to lay, you know, kind of mid-pack-ish, depending on the pace. It really doesn't look like this race is overloaded with speed. I think he'll end up getting the right trip from there, and he'll be the right kind of price. Casa Creed was phenomenal in winning this race last year. This was a race that on paper looked like it had very little speed. There ended up being a couple of horses that forced the issue early, and that really helped Casa Creed a great deal. But he's a horse who's been effective sprinting on the turf without a great pace setup anyway. So the difference, of course, is that he's coming back up the bench now as opposed to last year when he had won the elusive quality. I'm not overly concerned with that, and I think he's going to be a very strong player in the stretch. I respect Aresme Red, but he's a horse who I'm just not very excited about at what's going to be a relatively short price. We touched on the FIPS a little bit yesterday, and, you know, I think that search results have landed in the unenviable position of having to chase Latruska early, and I'm hopeful that she gives her a little bit more heat than Latruska generally gets, and that will help Clarier. And I want to bet Clarier at 3-1 or 7-2. You know, this could end up being the best price she goes off of her 4-year-old season if she wins this race. And I think the one-turn configuration is probably more ideally suited to her than anybody else. I also thought that she had a pretty significant excuse in the Mother Goose last year trying to rally into a slow pace, so I'm not concerned about that. And I thought she had real excuses in both races at Saratoga. So it's her chance to shine, and I do think her two races so far as a 4-year-old look like they show marked improvement from her 3-year-old season, which was already very, very good. I'm going to pick one upset on the card. and take Witt to beat Jack Christopher. I know that Jack Christopher looks like he's just way too good for this field, and I can't imagine Papa Cap is going to put a ton of pressure on him on the outside with Flavian Pratt probably not wanting to compromise his mount's chances nor those of a runner from Chad Brown's barn. It just seems like something a little foolish on his part. So we'll see if Morello maybe is ridden a little forwardly to push the issue a little bit too. I thought Witt's comeback in the Bayshore was very good. I think it's kind of an underrated performance. And I say that because he was considerably closer to the pace than he had ever been before from a standpoint of pace figures. They went very quickly early in the Bayshore, and he was basically on top of the pace at the half-mile call and stayed on very well to run down Highly Respected. They beat the rest of the field by open lengths. Highly Respected came back to run a good race, being second to Galt last week. Fire Figure came down a little bit, but I think that was more situational than anything. So I'm going to try Witt at what might be a nice little price.
What'd you make of the Brooklyn?
I think the Brooklyn might be the most competitive dirt race on the card. It's one where, yeah, I really think you can make a case for four horses. I'm very concerned for everybody else that First Constitution might be a little bit better with Jose Lozcano, and he is clearly better when he has the lead. So he has not had gate issues. He has not had any trouble whatsoever with Jose in these two starts in 2022, and they've both been open lengths wins. And, you know, I don't know how much Pratt is going to want to use Warrant to keep First Constitution honest, and obviously Fearless is not going to go a great deal of speed, at least not enough to compromise his stablemate's chances. So speed going a mile and a half on the dirt is very, very deadly, and Lone Rock, for that matter, I think is also not going to be ridden to push the issue either. So I'm going to pick First Constitution to wire the field. I think he's very dangerous. This is a horse I've never really liked. I do think Warrant brings a bit of class to the field that you kind of like seeing, right? And he is definitely good enough to win this race. And I think his Ben Ally is a race that you can excuse a tad. The comeback performances, obviously, from Dynamic One and Scalding were fine. I don't know exactly what it says about the Ben Ally, but it certainly didn't say anything negative. So I'll assume that he's a horse that you want to use right back. And then, obviously, the veteran Lone Rock is one that there's no reason to exclude.
Yeah, it's fun. I struggled a little bit, and we'll see about tomorrow for ticket building purposes. And Regal Glory or Speak of the Devil?
I'm going to take Regal Glory. I think she's got a little bit of a pace edge. I don't know. Yeah, I don't think that Speak of the Devil faced any horse of her caliber last time, and you know, I think that freaky far turn move is probably earning her status that she doesn't quite deserve yet. And Regal Glory is really, really good. She's a horse who has produced every single time they've asked in the last couple of years. So I think she still has a little bit of upside as well. And then Echo Zulu over Matarea in the Acorn, I don't have any big opinion there. I think Echo Zulu made out better being on the outside because Matarea is going to beat her. She's probably going to have to beat her to the punch. Letting her go and letting her start dictating terms to everybody else seems like a really foolish idea.
And for those, again, that are considering the two-day plays today, what do you think the best two-day double combination is?
The Philly and Mare two-day double of the Intercontinental into the Phipps, I think, is interesting because I like price horses in both legs. And so I think if you want to use Robin Sparkles and Flower Point today into Clairiere tomorrow and maybe use a little bit of Latruska since you have those two prices in the first leg, that looks like one that's pretty interesting. The two-day pick six, which is a 20-cent increment, is very appealing because you're going to start it with Jackie's Warrior and then probably use the three Chads at most in the New York, and that gives you a lot of flexibility as far as the Jiper goes and the Manhattan, because the Woody is going to be a two-number punch for me, and so is the Belmont. So that's a sequence where, you know, these 20-cent pick sixes in this scenario, especially on a couple of days like the next two, you really need to make sure that you're playing this thing for 60 cents, 80 cents a dot. You know, narrow your vision down a little bit so that you can really maximize the opinions.
Perfect. Maximizing the opinion of Nick Tamaro and Tam1215. And Nick, good luck in the contest, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds great. Sounds great, Steve. Good luck. Talk to you soon.
Nick Tamaro, everybody. Andy Serling's going to join us next, and while we wait for Andy, the scratches are up. The grass is blue, is out of the Intercontinental, as is, oh, wow. Robin Sparkles is scratched. Wow. Robin Sparkles is scratched from the Intercontinental. Yikes. Wow. Huh. Well, that that is going to, at the very least, shake up some tickets, and we'll see what Andy's thoughts are. First, we're going to be our first opportunity since we just hung up with Nick. Robin Sparkles was going to be, you know, a major portion of this pace. I mean, she was going to be the point. That might put a legal smile, I'm going to guess. And a legal smile with, and you get Kendrick, a legal smile probably moves now to your leader. And Caravelle, maybe? I guess Caravelle? Certainly. Let me pull up let me get my hands on the, that's Saturday. That's right here in front of me like an idiot. Caravelle, let's see. Yeah, Caravelle and a legal smile. I wonder, too, if Miss J. McKay, how if Miss J. McKay with now with Joelle, I wonder if they, not necessarily from a pace setting perspective, but she doesn't really have the speed that, well, she sat second last time in the license fee. A legal smile, absolutely, and Caravelle. And I wonder if Tom Morley tells Javier Castellano to be aggressive with assertive style. There you go. You know, Jouster. Jouster's got speed. Obviously the tangled beginning in the Giants Causeway aside, everything else has been, you know, and when he was at his, when she was at her best, going back to last year, I mean, she was going longer, but she's got some lick. Very interesting. That is a major scratch, obviously. All right. So take Robin Sparkles out of the Intercontinental. The seventh. The allowance speaks for itself, and Oh Gotten Girl have come out. The even money Chad Brown favorite is out, and Oh Gotten Girl for Todd Pletcher, and then in the fifth, you got Major Scratch here too. Always Late is out, and so is Blissful Change. I was interested in Blissful Change for Joe Sharp, and the AE comes out. Go-Go Shoes, Derek Ryan. And the only other scratch on the day is the 12 and the 13, the MTOs. Take those out of the second race with the turf being perfect. So, all right. Well, Casey, let's do this then. We'll try Andy later. And we do have a window for Andy in hour three. Maybe we have Andy right now.
You have me for 5 minutes.
Very good. Andy, then I just retweeted the scratches, and I see that Robin Sparkles comes out of the Intercontinental, which is a major, you know, a major development.
Okay. I'm all abuzz. Why is it a major development?
Well, because she was going to be the pace setter, wasn't she?
Yeah, I guess. Oh, okay. I guess that helps a legal smile.
A legal smile, and actually, and now I'm just looking. Well, and when you pick Jouster in there, 12-1.
I don't think she'll be 12-1. But
Pratt. No, not now. No. All right.
Nor
all right. Anything
well,
about
well, Robin Sparkles was, I assume she's a huge price in here, right?
She was 10-1.
Right. So it's not going to affect Jouster's price because she's fresh. Unless you think the big scratch is Rast Lewis or not the price down. Anyway, we now have 4 minutes.
Anything else about the Friday card before we go to Saturday?
Before I cough one of my lungs up? I mean, I don't know. You tell me. This is like the call when somebody says, you know, calls you and says, "What do you want?" I've got lots of opinions on today's cars. I'm about to share them on Talking Horses in a few minutes.
All right, we'll save. Let people tune into Talking Horses. Let's go to Saturday, because Saturday, most people are going to hear this after today's card is underway.
You don't need to get qualified.
The Belmont, start with the Belmont, Andy, and we'll jump around to a couple of spots.
Okay. I like Creative Minister. I did a video, if anybody cares, they can watch it on Naira YouTube. I just thought he'd be a decent enough price. He's improving with every start from a speed figure standpoint. He should be in a good stalking position, and I think We the People is I think you always have to make a decision, and I think for me, you have to make a decision which one of the shorter price horses you want to leave out. And I don't know that he'll be favored. I think had it rained, he would have been favored. I'm skeptical that he's going to be favored, especially on a dry track. But I guess it's possible. I don't like him. I'm going to go with it. His win in the Peter Pan was made much more impressive by the racetrack, and those are the kind of tracks that exaggerate performances. And if you believe that's the case, and you're right, it makes him just way too slow to win this race. I could be wrong. He's obviously run well in the races he's run out of chance in. I'm not going to be shocked when I'm wrong about this. Opinion, but that's sort of where I'm going in the race. I don't have any following Mo Donegal. I think he could have favored. I think he probably should be favored in here. He's probably got the best resume of anybody in this race overall. But whether or not he's really good enough at a mile and a half, I mean, he's okay. I mean, all these horses are sort of okay, right? I mean, this Belmont reminds me of the 2000 Belmont when Red Bull and Crew Peg didn't run, you know, commendable one, where I wouldn't take a strong position against anybody, especially if somebody wants to make a case of the price for me. I mean, I don't think Nest is good enough, but Todd's done so well in this race, and I think you have to respect any horse that Todd runs in the Belmont, given the history of success he's had in this race. And maybe Nest will improve with a lot of distance. I mean, she's got to improve a lot, I think, to win this race, but I'm not going to be shocked if she does. I don't like Rich Strike particularly, but I can understand that people think he's improved. The problem with Rich Strike is his right odds are probably in the 8-10-1 range, and you're going to get a fraction of that. So from a gambling standpoint, I think he's a tough horse to take, at least for me.
Andy, talk about the Manhattan, which hasn't gotten enough attention.
Yeah, I think it's really one of the worst races of the day. I think it's a very, very tough race. I think Goofo. I kind of copped out. I mean, I think if you want a price in there, Trebuchen could be a little interesting, you know. I thought about putting him on top and getting Goofy in there, but I don't. That's another race. I mean, I think if you look at that race, I mean, I know everybody's focused on all the five horse fields, And the detriment of looking at races like this, I mean, I don't think Lepereiro is going to win. I think his last race is a product of the turf. I don't think the Tokyo Gold has ever shown to be good enough. I think Adamo's dangerous. I mean, I don't get in love going a mile and a quarter, but who knows? It's not like he hasn't run good races in the past. I'm not a big Rock Emperor fan, but it seems that every once in a while he runs well. The Buven, Island Chief, Santon, Channelmaker, they can all win. No, this is a very fun race. I mean, you like a...
Agreed.
It's a big race. There's no domestic spending like last year, you know?
Yeah. No, exactly. All right, good. I'm glad that you... I had that same feeling that, you know, that... That's a race that, you know, everybody's focused on the star power events or Belmont, and they've overlooked that. Let me ask you about the mares, the fillies and mares. How do you view this Ogden Phipps with Latruska and
well,
excellent,
Latruska
excellent
sort of always, you know, Latruska's kind of like, I mean, she hasn't proven herself to be the Michael Jordan of racing, but he used to say Jordan was always favored in playoff series until he lost, and since he never really did. He was always rightfully favored. And she's just the worst to beat until it's proven that she's kind of lost a step. And I don't think the Apple Blossom suggests that she has lost a step. Still, I'm going to try to beat her. I'm going to use Clarier and search results to try to beat her. It's not a strong opinion. I thought Clarier ran the best race last time. But she's got to break cleanly from the gate. And she has a bad habit. You know, Jose, I thought Ortiz and Trusco was right to come out last time if she didn't break, you know, and she sort of takes herself out of races, but she ran very well. I think she's really improved as a four-year-old. And I thought Search Results last race was very good, and she's going to be stalking with Truska. I don't think she's going to, you know, be going into an all-out, you know, chase, you know, against her, but I think she'll be stalking her, and I thought she had a chance. It's a good race. I mean, I don't want Malathot, but I think in fairness, her first race as a three-year-old was not a particularly fast race in the Ashland, and she really improved from that one. She's obviously not winning if she runs the race she ran last time. I don't buy in the theory that she, quote, does what she has to do. I never do and never have. But some people will think that, and that's fine. I respect that. I just don't agree with it. I think the other horses have shown they can run well this year. She has yet to show that. Which doesn't mean she won't, because she was awfully good last year.
We've got Andy, the Jiper, too, the grade one, the unique grade one opportunity at this time of the year, and got a nice field of 13.
Probably the only grade one at 6 furlongs in the turf, right?
I think that's right.
So, I think it's wide open. I mean, the rest of me read at the speed, and he'll be the horse to beat. You know, Castle Creed comes back and runs respectively from going over, you know, running two races over in the Middle East. I'm a little skeptical, but if he does, he's, you know, he can repeat. Subtlebuzz ran well last time. The last time was the time, but he's improved a lot. I like Gear Jockey, who had a rotten trip last time out, and his runway race is good enough to win this. So I pick him. He'd be a slightly better price, but there's a lot of horses in here that could win, I thought.
It's a fun race, though, like today's Intercontinental. Andy, a couple of lightning round questions. Is Jack Christopher vulnerable at all?
I don't vulnerable isn't the word that I would use to describe him. He's a very good horse who runs very well every time. The question is there somebody you think that could be better? I think the only horse that potentially has shown in the past that with a forward move would have a chance against him would be Morello. Because Gotham was absolutely terrific. And, you know, the Wood Memorial, he fell apart. But I like the fact that they took a step back and gave him time. You know, they didn't do something stupid like running in the Derby because they had points and, you know, running 17th there. They pointed to this race. And his Gotham's very good. If he can improve on that a little bit, I don't think it's out of the realm of the possibility that he could be very competitive with Jack Christopher. Jack Christopher's very, very good. And listen, I mean, Whitman fell last time.
Yeah.
What else?
Regal Glory and Speak of the Devil?
I prefer Regal Glory, but I'm not, neither result would surprise me. More just curious to see how it plays out.
How about Echo Zulu and Matarea?
I prefer Echo Zulu, but I respect Matarea. I thought Echo Zulu's Kentucky Oaks is probably the best race she's ever run. you know, to be involved in a contested pace, the horse that finished absolutely nowhere, overmatched or not, and to keep battling back at a mile and eighth, which is, I'm going to say, is likely beyond her ideal distance. I thought she was super last time. I mean, yeah, you have to respect her based on what she'd already done on the racetrack. But I'm a guy who's often much more impressed by losses than wins. I think you find out about horses. You find more out about horses when they lose, in some situations, than you do when they win. It's kind of like the idea of tests, right? You know, the reason that they make tests difficult is so nobody can get 100. Because if 7 people get 100 a test, maybe one of them got 160. Maybe one of them got a 101. You don't really know. And I think you learn more when a horse is stretched to do something sort of a little bit beyond its scope and see how well they run. And I thought Ecozula was just fantastic last time.
Similar question on head-to-head, Flight Line and Speaker's Corner. And is there any room for Aloha West or Happy Saver?
Well, I think there's room for one to be second if you're against one of the favorites. Hard to see them both losing. Well, Lester would have to run faster than everyone before. I think Happy Saver, if I was going to split them, I'd split them with Happy Saver. Sort of suck it up. But he ran fine last time. Listen, I don't want to fall into the, oh my God, you know, the eye test with Flight Line, but he's fast. I think he's just going to, I can't believe they would bring him here unless they felt he was going to run. They wouldn't have any problem. I mean, they wouldn't want to. But if they felt that he wasn't physically able, they would probably retire him or, you know, delay his start. I got to think he may be too tough to beat here. I respect Speaker's Corner a great deal, but I think Flightline may be too much to handle. But like so many people, I'm looking forward to seeing it. You know, we've been talking about Flightline running this race for a long, long time. So it's finally happening. I'm not going to be one of those people who sits around and complains about it now it's happening. No matter how much...
And finally, who'd you pick in... Yep. No,
did I pick in what?
It should be the Brooklyn.
Who did I pick in what?
The Brooklyn?
I don't know. Oh, I picked Warren over Lone Rock. I mean, I thought that maybe if he, you know, I don't know, his return race is so awful, but it's the worst the one Gold Cup is his name. Sorry, I'm the worst. that's the fifth race. Max Player wasn't impossible. I mean, Lone Rock's supposed to be because he's done at the distance. If Warren can handle the distance, I thought his Ben Elliott was actually pretty good. He was involved in the pace that really fell apart. I thought he actually did a lot better than it looks in there. So I thought he was could win. Lone Rock's supposed to be Max Player. I didn't want anybody else in there.
Andy, have a fabulous weekend. Sorry, didn't get to spend any time with you this week, but
I've
got all summer to make up for.
I'm truly angry at you. How dare you allow your father to pass away and ruin the time for us together? Needless to say, as I said to you privately, I'm sorry to hear about your dad.
You were
a good son. I hope everybody knows how many times you've gone to visit him over the last whatever period of time. I know you were doing it to try to usurp your brother from the will, but others may not.
The greatest. Andy Serling, everybody, and the coverage ready to roll the Talking Horses. Thanks, Ann. Just really good. He's amazing. Let's take a break, and we got the final 45 minutes or so, 50 minutes. Hammer and Jimmy Ventura next, Dave Grenig, and Popo. And we'll look at some form to win views of the card for today and tomorrow. Weekend preview, Belmont weekend preview, presented by Twin Spires, and back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product.
You have
because
it on
we
file.
Have only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy...